This week on the podcast, we have my friend and Paper Camp alum, Stephanie Clark of Dahlia Press and Chloe Clark Paper. Stephanie has been on the show a few times, sharing how she started her business and different pivots along the way. I will leave those previous episodes and their links in the show notes so you can check them out. But today, we are discussing where she's at now, including the complexities of running two sister businesses. She has her greeting card and stationery line called Dahlia's Press and a bespoke custom invitation studio called Chloe Clark Paper. Now, we talk about the importance of building relationships in wholesale and custom work. We talk about the realities of juggling multiple business models. This includes a brick and mortar storefront, online sales, wholesale partnerships with big box accounts and independent retailers. You will also hear her talk about the challenges and also victories of maintaining consistent growth as a business. This has been a really challenging year in 2025, and she's going to share how she has maintained and sustained during those challenges. We also talk about the evolving industry changes that are happening and how we deal with that, and the strategies that Stephanie uses to keep both her team and her customers engaged. Now, before we dive in, today's episode is brought to you by our Paper Camp Wholesale Coaching Program. Paper Camp is our four-week wholesale coaching program for product-based business owners who are ready to stop guessing and start building a wholesale strategy that actually works. It's designed for brands who want a real wholesale business, not just landing a few accounts, crossing our fingers, and hoping that they come back for more. Inside Paper Camp will help you build a clear, sustainable wholesale foundation and will also layer in growth strategies. Everything from building their product line, pricing, margins that you can stand behind, to sales tools that buyers expect to see. We'll also cover marketing and outreach and trade shows, so you're ready to move into that if you're ready. Now, each week builds upon the last in Paper Camp, so you're creating a complete wholesale system, not just collecting tips and strategies that you can insert here and there. We're talking a wholesale ecosystem that you can apply to any type of product in any location worldwide. We host live coaching calls every week to help you apply what you're learning and make confident decisions in real time. Enrollment for the next round of Paper Camp opens soon, and this program does sell out. So if wholesale is a part of your growth plan for this year, join the waitlist at proofedoproduct.com/papercamp. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Stephanie, welcome back to Proof to Product. It's so great to have you here.
Hi, Katie. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we got to catch up a little bit this summer at the trade shows, and I was like, we have to have you back. You have such an incredible business story, and I just love talking to you. So thank you for making time for me today.
I love talking to you. I feel like this is always just a nice time to catch up and, totally. And rehash the past, and it's great. It's always fun.
Totally. Rehash the past, figure out how we're going to use that going forward, all of the things. Yes.
Exactly.
So for our listeners, Stephanie's been on the podcast a few times. The first time was back in episode 21, which feels like ages ago, where we talked about your startup story. And then 5 years later, we had you on episode 308, where you talked about how you split your business into two sister brands. And I kind of want to touch on how that's going here today. And then you and I also had a chance to catch up briefly at Shop Object this summer. And you were on episode 409, where we did a compilation of exhibitors at Shop. So this is not your first rodeo here at Proof to Product.
No, definitely not. I actually listened to our last conversation just the other day because I was like, what did I even say?
What did I even talk about? Time? Yeah.
And it was really fun. It was kind of nice to go back and be like, oh, okay, I got this. We're good. I built the ship and it's still floating.
And it's still sailing. Okay, so this is hilarious because I literally just 2 days ago had somebody come up to me and say, hey, I listened back to the episode you and I recorded. It was a couple years ago that this person and I spoke, and she's like, it was so validating to hear that, like, I'm still on the right path and I, you know, made the right choices back then and I feel really good about it. And I was like, oh, that's a cool, like, sub
that's awesome
text of like the podcast, right? Like, that's a cool thing. Absolutely. That we have this time capsule. So,
yeah, I'm always nervous when we we do this that I'm going to just, you know, say the wrong thing or come off like I don't know what I'm talking about. And listening to myself, I was like, wow, I've really got this. Okay.
You totally got this. You absolutely got this.
So it's great.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, let's give listeners just a quick overview or kind of recap, because they can go back and listen to episode 308, where you talk pretty in depth about why you split your brands into two.
Sure.
But you have two brands, Dahlia Press and Chloe Clark. How are they different, and who is each brand for?
Okay. So Dahlia Press was my initial brand. I started in 2008. Right now, it serves as our greeting card line, and it's direct to consumer. We have a retail storefront and a brick and mortar space. We work with a wholesale market. We're in a little over 1,000 brick and mortar stores, as well as big box stores all around the country. So actually globally now at this point. So that is our product line. And then Chloe Clark, the Art of Paper, is our bespoke custom invitation studio. We mostly focus on wedding invitations, but we also do high-end events. And the Chloe Clark portion started underneath Dahlia Press. That was an offering I had originally offered under the name Dahlia Press. But as my greeting card line grew and kind of developed a name of its own, it just made more sense to divide the two, because those customer bases are very different.
Yeah.
So now we have two separate studios to house each side of the business. They're within the same building, so we're essentially next door neighbors, which has pros and cons, but it is kind of nice. We do look as if we are two separate businesses, but really we're still kind of the same thing within. Yeah.
So it sounds like on the back end, and I know we talked about this a little bit previously, but on the back end, the logistics are pretty intertwined in terms of how you're running things from a day-to-day basis. But forward-facing, they're two separate brands targeting two different audiences, providing different services and all of that.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
Steph, I told you this before, and I'm going to tell you it again. I am so in awe of you, because what you are doing is essentially running multiple businesses all under, like, having a brick and mortar is one business model. Selling wholesale is one business model. Selling direct to consumer online is another business model. Having Chloe Clark with the custom side of things is an entirely bit. Like, Stephanie, that's a significant amount of like engines that are running at the same time.
It is.
How are you juggling all that?
I ask myself that question a lot.
Fair. That's fair.
You know, I'm definitely not juggling it alone. So yeah. I'm very lucky. When we spoke last time, I mentioned we are a team of six. We still are a team of six. It's a slightly different team. But I have five wonderful individuals I work with who help keep this going. So it's not just me. And I've done a really good job of delegating different tasks to different individuals. So, you know, on the product side, other than designing new release items and kind of taking over the marketing aspects of Dahlia Press, I kind of take a backseat to that side of the business. And my wholesale manager and our printer and our fulfillment manager, they really handle getting all the product created and out to our buyers. The storefront is kind of a shared effort. It's very small, so it's super manageable.
But it's still its own thing, though.
It's still its own thing. It is still its own thing. And it does come with its own set of headaches, just dealing with people coming off the street to come into shop, interrupting our workflow.
Yeah.
Having questions, wanting to know about the presses, because I have our antique printing presses right there in the storefront. And so I can't tell you how often guys come in and want to tell us about how their great grandfather was a printer. And so it is its own thing, but also it's kind of a nice like relief in the day when that happens. And it gives us all a little change of pace.
And community connection. I mean, you're connecting with folks in the neighborhood, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Yes. That alone is really why we keep it going, because it's nice to have a presence in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Okay, so you're less active on Dahlia Press side now. It sounds like you've got some real great systems and people in place. Are you still pretty hands-on on the Chloe Clark side?
I am, yes. So on the Chloe Clark side, it's really just me and one other designer. She is full-time.
Okay.
And I trust her implicitly. So she has a lot of control when it comes to working with our clients. So if I can't handhold them through everything, I am not concerned about her being a touchstone for them.
That's awesome.
Custom work is hard. It's a lot of back and forth with our clients, with our planners that we work with. And so that takes a lot of my time and a lot of energy.
Yeah. I mean, I talk all the time about how businesses like ours are built on relationships. I mean, we see it on the wholesale side. The relationships we have with the stores help to strengthen the amount of orders we get, the average order value of those orders, all of that. But the custom side is also very much relationship-based. I mean, you're talking about the events that you do and the planners you work with. It's not just always a one-by-one people find you online. A lot of your pipeline, I assume, is through these other referral sources. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there was a period of time where a lot of it was just people finding us online, having good SEO.
Right.
And then once I moved into our brick and mortar space, it kind of transitioned into, oh, you're my neighborhood printer. Mm. And so we had a lot of people who were like, I drove by, I walked by. They would look us up on Google and find us. So it definitely switched to that. Those individuals, though, aren't necessarily my ideal client. And so I kind of learned that the hard way. And had to shift gears a little bit, which also kind of led to the breaking apart of two brands.
Right, right.
I wanted Chloe Clark to feel like more of a luxury brand. And so once I removed weddings from Dahlia Press, I was able to do that and kind of steer myself more towards a certain type of clientele.
Yeah.
And now it's mostly planners that are bringing work to me. I have a number of planners, both in the corporate world and in the wedding world, who I've worked with, who I'm kind of their go-to gal, which is great. But also I'm discovering that world. Planners are like, I've got my favorite stationer, so I'm going to bring them to you. And timeline doesn't really seem to be the first question that they ask, or even availability. So there's a lot of assumptions there that I have to deal with
planners. How are you building in the boundaries then? Like, how are you?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard. And there's certain planners that come to me with just like, I've got this wild opportunity. And a lot of times they come to those with like a wild budget. So maybe I'm willing to drop a lot of things to make that timeline happen. On the flip side, there's some that come in and it's a really tight budget and a tight timeline. And then I just have to kind of set some boundaries on like, here's our, you know, anticipated timeline. And if that doesn't work for you, I'm so sorry. Here's someone. Yeah.
Here's what we can do.
I can send you to. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's great too that you've got those other people that you could refer out to if something isn't a fit for you, if it's not the right type of client, the timeline, the budget, whatever it might be. I think that's really awesome that you're also giving them alternative options too.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that's a hard conversation to have sometimes, especially with a client who's eager to work with you, but it is in their best interest a lot of times.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. So going back, like, are you still happy that you split the brands? It sounds like you are.
I am. Yes. I don't think I would change it. I think it was a wise move for a lot of reasons. It's been a little tricky having the two separate studios. Mm. I think for all the benefits of having two separate studios, I'm noticing now I feel personally pulled a lot. Like I spend a lot of my day running back and forth between the two spaces and just checking in on one and checking in on the other.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that that's always great use of my time. And I do feel a little disconnected from some of my teammates in the Dahlia Press side. As well, the designer who works with me on Chloe Clark doesn't have the same relationship with her co-workers.
Right. Quote unquote. Because she's more alone and isolated in one studio and the others are not. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that has presented some problems. In a perfect world, we would have a space with two storefronts with a connected back room. That way we could all work together and develop that relationship, but then still have those forward-facing separate businesses. So I don't know. We're in this weird place right now where we're also outgrowing our spaces. So
I was going to ask, how's that spatial?
It's becoming a real problem. Mostly in the Dahlia Press side, our line has just gotten to a point where it's too big.
Yeah, you've got a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. And then as we've grown more, especially with some of these big box stores, those orders, when they come in, they just dominate our back room. And as shipments are coming in and shipments are going out, I mean, it's just like boxes on boxes on boxes and it's not functional. So as I'm looking towards our lease coming up in 2027, I've been kind of negotiating in my head, like, what is our best option? Is it time to start shopping around? Do we need a storage unit? Do I want to lease? Do I want to buy a building? I don't know. These are the things that keep me up at night.
And then you have a drink and you're like, okay, wait, let's take a step back from this for a minute. The answer will come. Like,
we'll figure that out in 2026.
Yes, exactly. Future me will appreciate that I've thought about this now, but yet we're not solving it. You know, I will say this sounds like, I mean, this is obviously a wonderful problem to have. There's people listening right now that are like, oh, I wish I had this problem of like too much capacity and all these people, you know, but it is a pain point. You know, it is a point of friction as you're growing to that the space becomes a problem, especially when you're selling to the big key accounts like you are. And to, like you were talking about with the staff, I think too, though, like this has been really good because now if you do decide to buy a place or move to a different spot, you have like a very clear vision of what you need that space to operate as for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
As we've kind of started to poke around and look at things, I think the biggest thing that we kind of mull over is, would we continue to have a retail storefront?
Interesting.
And would we want that to be larger to help offset potentially the new rent, or would we want it to be smaller and just go away? I guess this is the one headache with having so many components to this business is like trying to find a house for all of it.
Yeah, for sure. And then too, I could see something like a community space that like you could host events and things like that at, but that's like going further into the retail side of things. So it's like, do you want to dive further into it? Do you want to pull back? Like, how do you want to balance all of that?
And retail, especially in Seattle, is a weird thing. I mean, we are in the midst of Amazon. So it is a city that hasn't really supported small retail because we can get everything in our doorstep in an hour. So that makes it really hard to want to continue blowing that part of the business up. But at the same time, I really see a need for it in our community where I'm like, we need more places to go and develop community and have workshop spaces and have spaces where people can actually come and spend time together and shop. And so it would be nice to offer that. So
yeah,
these are
sure.
certainly things I'm thinking about.
Yeah, all good things, but also like, I agree. Hold the boundaries too, because you got a lot going on, girl.
Does it have to be me?
Well, I know this is where my mind goes to. I'm like, well, just because we can doesn't always mean we should, right? Like, you know.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. You have been in this industry for a long time. You started in 2008, which was the same year that I started with my brand. And I will say that so much about how we create, produce product, sell, and market ourselves, it has changed. And so how do you continue to adapt and evolve, given that you've been in business for so long? Like, in some ways, I think this is my personal preference or personal opinion. In some ways, I think it's easier because you and I have navigated so many ups and downs
for
throughout the course of our business. But also, there's like so much new stuff now, right? Like that we have to try to keep up with Reels and AI and all this other stuff. So like, what are you doing and how are you kind of like continuing to put yourself out there in sales and marketing and adapting with everything that's happening?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I will say just in general, I am very conservative when it comes to how I spend money.
Yeah.
And I have watched this business have real high highs and real low lows. And so, you know, I'm very lucky. Like, I know that this past year has been very difficult for everyone. And somehow for my business, it's been a great year. And so 2025 actually has been our best year, which is wild.
Stephanie, congratulations. That is so wonderful. I'm so happy to hear this.
No, it's amazing. We actually have 20% growth financially this year, which is insane.
I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
I have goosebumps right now. Okay. I was telling you before we started recording, I'm going to say it for the listeners' benefit too, that like I've been telling all of my advisory board clients that look, if you are even from last year or above what you did last year, that is a win. This year is about sustaining, not necessarily thriving, but you, my friend, are thriving. 20% up year over year is fantastic.
Yeah. You know, I really started this year nervous.
And yeah, for sure.
It's like, we're not going to do anything crazy. We're not going to overextend. I normally do a really large release every year. And this year I was like, we're going to tailor that back and just release the things we really love. And so I've just made a lot of smart decisions along the way to help conserve funds.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, we've just done, I think, a lot more outreach, honestly, directly to our buyers. We have scheduled check-ins with them where we are sending messages, direct messages to them, emails to them, calls to them, to make sure that they know we're here to support them, whether their orders be big or small.
Yep.
So I feel like that's one thing we've really spent a lot of time doing and that we do very well. And every time we do that, our numbers change. I mean, for instance, this month has been low because I feel like that's just kind of where we are
in
the season.
Yeah.
And they're busy, but we just sent out a flurry of direct messages and the orders started to come in. So I do think, as hard as it is, and as much as you feel like you might be pushing them, it is good to just do the check-ins and just remind them you're here, you have product to send, you can get it out the door immediately. And also, I love to provide them with resources. So I'm always like, here's link to our photo images. Here's links to new styled images. Here's things you can use to help promote the product on your end. So I think that's really important. We send out weekly newsletters for both our retail customers and our wholesale customers. And I will say this past year, the direct-to-consumer retail side has taken a shift. And suddenly, we have a lot more orders coming in regularly on our website, which I never would have suspected. I've never put a lot of effort into that. And I don't know if it's the newsletters or just our SEO, but it's working.
Probably a combo of both. And you're like real thinking. People in your emails too.
Absolutely. So I think staying consistent has really paid off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And outside of that, just like the general outreach that we do all the time, I try to keep things relatively simple because we do have a lot of things going on. So I don't do a lot of physical mailings. Mm-hmm. I try to keep that pretty simple, maybe one or two a year. We are doing two trade shows a year. So we still do that where we get to actually like see our buyers. But two is plenty for me. I know there are people who do all the shows and then there are people who do one, and two for me feels good. So
good. You got to do what's right for you and right for your budget and right for your schedule and all that.
Yeah. But that is, I think, really valuable time spent with our buyers. So it's something that, again, consistency, like we show up twice a year to the same show. And I think that that has really paid off.
Okay. I want to dive into a couple of these pieces you just mentioned pretty quickly. This is amazing, by the way. So talk to me about the trade shows. I know they've always been a priority for you. Are you using that more as like an acquisition tool to find new shops and for them to find you? Or are you mainly using it as a retention piece to have that face time with your existing customers? I know it does both, but like, what's your goal going in?
I feel like at this phase of life, I am more on the retention phase. Yeah. And then anything new that we get is just gravy. Like that's amazing. And again, this year, actually, we had our best trade show ever. So, which I was not anticipating. I feel like I've walked into every show this year being like, well, you know, if
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. If we can leave at zero, I'm happy. Like if everything is paid for, then I'm happy. And we've done surprisingly well.
Yeah.
And we've got some new great buyers that have come out of the shows. But I think for me, it really is about just like reconnecting with the buyers who buy from us regularly and getting to make sure that they know we're still here, show them what's new, and talk to them about what they need too. I mean, a lot of the things that we release the next season are because they told us, you know, I'm really looking for this and I'm not seeing it anywhere. Yeah. So,
and you're hearing it from multiple buyers too, which then is like, okay, this is a major sign to move forward with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You mentioned consistency, which I loved. You mentioned it a few times because I really do feel like that is what sets some brands apart from others. You know, there's a lot of folks that'll send an email here and there, but like when you are showing up consistently in somebody's inbox, or I mean, we can't control how often we're showing up on their social feeds, but like if you're showing up consistently in their inbox, you're staying top of mind. Even if they're not opening and clicking through the email, seeing your name in the inbox is just like that jogging of memory, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also talked about the personal connections and the DMs. And my advisory board clients are having the greatest response from that. Again, I think people just want to get back to that human to human connection and remembering and reminding ourselves that it's just another human on the other side.
Absolutely.
And they have needs. They have things that they need to do in their business. And if I can make their life easier, then they're probably going to buy from me. Like I assume that's how you approach it too, right?
Definitely. And it's kind of funny. This is also where I think having my teeny tiny retail store has really helped.
Oh, your perspective has shifted a little bit?
Yes. Like 9/10 of what we sell in the retail store is our own products because it is that small. And it's really all we have room for. But I have in the last 2 years brought in just little giftable items, you know, some jewelry, chocolates, candles, just little things. We just got these adorable holiday puzzles, like stuff that then when people come in and they buy a card, they're also like, oh, I can grab this. And so it's been interesting to see the lack of communication from those shops.
Oh, yeah.
And how that has kind of colored my return to buy again. Like, even if it's an item that's selling well, if it sells and I don't see it sitting there in the storefront, when I go to buy again, I'm like, well, maybe we should try something new, you know, yeah. Versus if they were to send me a message and be like, hey, how is it going? Is there anything I can help you with? Are you interested in another colorway? You know, like whatever.
Are you ready for a restock? Yeah.
Yeah. I just think then it would lock it in my brain that like, oh yeah, this person is actually like looking to me to place another order because they're invested in me just like I'm invested in them.
Right.
And so I think because of that, that's really made me realize that reaching out to people consistently, checking in, it makes all the difference in the world. It keeps them top of mind.
Totally. I think that, and I'd be curious on your take on this. I think, you know, having worked with so many brands like I have, so many people are afraid. They're afraid to reach out. They don't want to bother people. They don't want to sound salesy. Like they are very like hung up on the how they're perceived by this outreach. Like they take it personally, right?
Yeah.
And I need people. Yes, we're human to human relationships. There's humans on both sides of the equation here. But also, we're all just doing business too.
Absolutely. Like,
so it's not personal if somebody doesn't respond. It's not personal if somebody says not right now or whatever. Like, do you agree with that? Like, we need to take it less personally and put ourselves out there?
Yes, 100%. And I definitely know in the past, I felt that same way. Like, I don't want to bug people. But I'm also like, am I bothered about Crate and Barrel emailing me every single morning? Like, no, not really. And occasionally I open them up and buy a thing, right? Like, it doesn't hurt to make that outreach. I personally don't have time to reach out to people every single day, but a couple of times a month, you know, that we're, as long as we're sending those emails weekly and we're sending direct messages once or twice a month, I think that's plenty, you know, to just check in. And again, especially with the direct messages, I like to give them an offer, right? There has to be some sort of reason. It can't just be like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah. We're not just checking in, friends. I'm putting this in quotes. You can't see me right now, but I'm doing the finger quotes. Like, we're not just checking in. We're always adding value at every touch point. We don't want to send a DM. Mm-hmm. They can't unsubscribe from the DMs too. So like, you know, we don't want to be annoying. Like, I feel like that's more annoying than an email that lands in your inbox.
I agree. And I think that, you know, I mean, looking back, we probably are only sending DMs. It feels like we're sending them all the time because we have so many buyers, but we're probably only sending DMs maybe once every 2 months, maybe to someone, sometimes 3 months. And it always comes with something, right? Like we've just released these new products or we are offering a sale or here's a link to photos. Like there's always something.
Yeah. Here's the best sellers of the quarter. Yep. You haven't picked these up. I wanted to make sure you were aware of them. Like we want to be adding the meaning to our touch points for sure.
Yep. But I do think it makes a difference.
I think it makes a huge difference. And I've seen the results of it across multiple brands that are doing it. And I've seen like the sales impact that it's had. Higher average order values, more consistent reorders, even people taking a chance, a first chance on a brand that they might not have otherwise.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you've already kind of alluded to the fact that like most of your work nowadays is on retention because you're working with over 1,000 stores. That's going to keep you busy.
Yes.
Whereas somebody that's like a newer brand that's focused on acquisition is going to be maybe doing things slightly different. Are you still doing cold outreach or are you truly just focused on retention?
No, we are. We definitely still are. I mean, I feel like there are areas, especially of this country, that we are not readily available in. And so we are still just doing research and pulling names and occasionally sending out packets and, you know, messaging them as best we can, trying to find the right buyer.
Oh, I know.
But it's not our focus. But it's certainly something that like we still are doing here and there.
Okay. Remind me, are you taking wholesale orders from Fair and your own website too?
Yes, our own website, Fair, sales reps.
Right.
And then we actually, I can't really speak to this much because we just signed on, but we signed on with a European distributor. So,
oh, exciting.
Yeah. So that is going to be new to us starting any day now. So that's exciting. Yeah.
That is. That's good. Which of those bring in the most amount of sales for you right now?
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I have a love-hate relationship with. It's, girl, I mean, it's you a lot and of us do. Yeah. I mean, I do see it is easy, right? Like it's so simple for the buyers.
I understand the buyer's point of view for
I totally get it. I also see the frustration on the rep side.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't compete with what they're able to do. And honestly, our own wholesale website, it's fine. It does the job, but it's clunky in a way that Fair isn't. And so I just think it's just easier for them. But honestly, I mean, we'll take orders any way you want to give them, like carrier pigeon, phone call, email. It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, that's my stance on it too. Like you take it however, whatever way the order will come, then you're going to take it. But here's, I mean, I'm just going to repeat my stance on FAIR for those listening in case anyone's new here. Like, I view FAIR as a tool, just like your email service provider, just like you'd use ShipStation or Shopify or any of these other things, right? And so we need to leverage it for all the benefits it provides. And I know it provides a lot of benefits for the buyers. It also does provide a lot of benefits for the brands. But sure. I think where I get a little bit like feeling yucky about it is I feel like there's a lot of, and I wonder if you see this, there's a lot of younger wholesale brands who have this like pie in the sky idea that like, if I just get on FAIR, I will be flooded with wholesale orders and I will make it, you know, like I just need to get on FAIR. Or then right. I see people that do get on FAIR and they're so disappointed when they don't have a lot of orders coming in.
Sure.
And so what I'm always telling people, as you know, because you've been in our programs and stuff, like a lot of people are using it mainly as a point of sale system. Mm-hmm. And you are driving the traffic there just like you would drive them to your own website. Like it's up to you to build those relationships and bring people to where they check out. But like I think there's a little bit of a misconception that like FAIR is this magic tool that will succeed with wholesale. And I mean, do you agree with that kind of idea?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think FAIR is a tool. And I feel like it just depends on what you put into it and what you're going to get out of it.
100%.
And, you know, one really positive shift we saw at the last two trade shows that we did was more buyers who were willing to place orders off of FAIR. Mm-hmm. And that was great because it is hard when every order goes through FAIR and you're dealing with commissions all the time and all the fees. And we sell greeting cards. It's a tiny margin to begin with. And so to just watch that kind of get removed is really difficult. So to see more buyers that are going back away from FAIR and wanting to buy in person to wanting to buy directly was really comforting and good to know. But I also sometimes then see them place their reorders on FAIR. So again, because it is easy. So
yeah.
I really do look at it less about finding new buyers and more about like it is just a sales pipeline for them to use to place their order.
The way you phrase that, I think it's really important that brands also look at it that way. This is just a tool that helps my buyers buy from me. And I'm going to leverage it for all the benefits it provides for me, but I'm also going to have to take some things that are not so great with it, like paying commission and all these other things. Yeah. Like it's not a perfect system. It's not a magic, I don't know what the word is, but it's not like the magic to success. So
yeah,
I will get off my little like tantrum here. I think it's, you know, I will say FAIR has done a lot of great things for many, many, like pretty much all the brands in our community. The people in our community are really leveraging it and having a good response to it. But I see stuff online and it really makes me sad because I'm like, friends, this is not the end all be all to selling wholesale. Like it's just one piece of the puzzle. So
absolutely.
All right. What are you looking forward to in the next year? Do you have like anything fun you're working on that you can share with us or like just general vibes?
This is a great question. We do have another trade show coming up. We will be doing Shop Object in February. Uh-huh. And that feels like tomorrow. So I do feel like right now we're getting our next catalog kind of pulled together. I have been very lucky to have a lot of weddings and events going on right now that we're participating in. So it's been kind of hard to like remove myself from that world to focus on the line, but that really needs to be my focus.
Well, and it's hard too. So many folks right now are working on Q1 releases. And with that, as you're saying, the new catalog and all that, and for you to have that push pull of like, wait, I need to work on these customers, that's got to be tough on you.
It's a lot. It's really a lot. And there are definitely days where I feel like I'm still doing that midnight hustle of like drawing cards in the basement after hours.
You're so like, should I be passes? Yeah, no, I know. We all have those seasons of like, I do too. I mean, I do too.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, I'm trying to keep things mellow for 2026. Because again, 2025, I think we just didn't really know. It was about sustaining.
Yeah.
And I don't know, as much as like it was an amazing year, again, I just get nervous because I am very conservative about these things. And I'm like, I don't want to put too many eggs in that basket. I want to just make sure like that we're here when it comes to 2027. So I just want to kind of play it safe.
I feel this so deeply. And I haven't been able to put words to it, though, when I've been talking about it with clients and friends. I'm like, no, I'm just constantly lowering my expectations. And then I'm excited when we exceed them and they're actually better than they are, you know?
Yes.
Rather than having super high expectations and not meeting them and being disappointed, I'd rather just like keep things conservative and you know, see where it goes. So
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been so fun. Tell people where they can shop your products and follow you online.
Yes. So everything Dahlia Press is at Dahlia Press for social media, dahliapress.com. And then if you're interested in the wedding event side, it's chloeclarkpaper.com and at Chloe Clark, there's an E at the end of Clark.
Friends, you have to go follow Stephanie's both feeds because they are gorgeous. Like, she has the best product photography and just some of the best products out there too. So,
Thank you, Stephanie.
It was such a pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you for making time for me again. It's just,
of course,
it's always fun to catch up with you.
Yes. Hopefully I get to see you soon.
In person, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk to you.
Thank you.
I love hearing what our alumni are up to and seasoned business owners, how they're evolving as business leaders, and what has helped them get to where they are now. So thank you to Stephanie for her time today and for sharing her story. To learn more about her brands, be sure to check the links in our show notes. You can find all of her links there for both of her brands. Now, before we wrap up, I want to leave you with this. If wholesale is something that you keep circling back to, if you've had your eye on it, if you're tired of trying to figure it out on your own or guess or second guess yourself, that is exactly why PaperCamp exists. PaperCamp is designed for product brands who want a real wholesale business. I'm talking a strong ecosystem that keeps wholesale orders coming in day after day. We're not just looking to land a few wholesale accounts and hope that things work out on their own. We want to build a system that works for you and, again, brings in repeat customers, higher AOV, and helps you really build relationships with those stores. If this sounds like what you're headed towards, what you're wanting in your business, I would love to support you. You can join the PaperCamp waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/PaperCamp, and you will be the first to know when enrollment opens for the next round. All right. Thanks for hanging with me today. I really appreciate it. I'll be back next week with another new episode.